Let's pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation in all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. In your bulletin, you have an outline of the sermon. If you take that out, that'll help you track with the points that I would like to make today from our text. We're going to be using the epistle reading, and it is God through the pen of St. Paul telling his people, you have been forgiven by the blood of Christ. He has done something unique and special to you. Here's how I want you to live. And so we look at this. Now, you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. So grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Have you ever considered how amazing the human body really is? Just a few things about it I'd like to bring up. The stomach's digestive acids are strong enough to dissolve some metals. Fortunately for us, we have cells in the stomach lining that renew themselves quickly, so the acids don't have time to eat up our stomachs. The lungs contain over 300 million tiny blood vessels that, if you laid them out end to end, would stretch out 1,500 miles or so. If you took a block of human bone the size of a matchbox, that can support 9 tons. That's 4 times as much weight as concrete can support. Each kidney has around 1 million individual filters. And the focusing muscles of the eyes move around 100,000 times a day. And those are just a few of the parts that make up the human body. But everything in our body works together in an incredibly intricate way and by design. So it's no wonder that St. Paul used the human body as an illustration of how the church, that is the body of Christ, ought to function. God designed the church to be comprised of many different parts, yet those parts are united into one entity. So even though the parts of the body are different, they have to be united to each other in order for this to function properly. And you know what this is like. Even if you're sitting here today, you know, so hopefully none of the kiddos up there have had some kind of major surgery in their lives, but the common denominator for all of us is what? When we have the flu. Right? We are all aware then how important it is for the body to work together properly. We understand sickness. We understand the need for good health at that time. And that's what our God wants for his church. Health, strength, power, the ability to do what he calls us to do. And that happens when the individual parts of the body are working together in a healthy fashion to make his world a better place. And that's what I want to talk about today. God taking care of our body and what he has called us to do. And it is our body, because even though we are individuals, we are called into something greater and a bigger whole. So let's go to the outline. First blanks. Why does God give us so much direction about how we should live as his people? Because how we treat each other matters to him. He wants good things for his son's bride, and that's who we are, the church. We are married to Jesus Christ. So following his direction is the healthiest thing that we can do. And so Paul is telling us what God's instructions are as to how to have the best, the strongest, the healthiest body in Christ. And it starts with recognition. Recognizing that, yes, we are called to be part of the whole, but also recognizing that we are uniquely individual and that we are created with different functions and different God-given gifts. And you know what? Paul says that is a very good thing. He makes the point, you don't want a body that is made up entirely of hands, do you? How would you eat? How would you digest? How would you think if that's all you were comprised of? But see, we kind of have a tendency to gravitate towards people that are like us. And that's fine. That's okay. There is nothing wrong with that. That is natural. But here's the deal. We also have to understand that there are people out there that are different than we are. And, you know, as this age of technology rolls on, it is really interesting to see how we are becoming more and more insular in our approach to things. I was reading an article about this and this phenomenon in the ways that technology works in the way that we think and how it shapes us. And that's because what happens when you go to search for something now? If you allow your computer to operate in a certain way, it will start tracking with what you are looking for, right? And then it will try and figure out what you want to have next, what you are looking for. So it starts to feed into what you are looking for. And as we do this, we are getting to a point where because of technology and because we spend so much time with it, we think the rest of the world thinks the same way we do because that's all we hear from, other people that are exactly like we are. And God goes, no, 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 no. I've given a whole bunch of different gifts to people, and this is a very, very good thing. We're unique. We are made with identities that are put by God to be used in a special and unique way. And that's what Paul is saying here. Use those differences that God placed there in your midst through his people to make the body of Christ stronger and healthier and more productive for the kingdom. So your next blanks, the church is a display of diversity in unity. So let's maximize the different gifts God has blessed us with. God designed the church to function much like a human body. Again, it is comprised of many different parts, yet those parts are united into one whole body. And when a community of Christ can celebrate these God-given differences and use those differences, oh, that is a powerful and beautiful thing. But again, unfortunately, there's a problem with this. How come all churches aren't powerful and beautiful? Well, because there's a problem with how people view the church and what it's for and why it's here. Christ established his church to be a place where his love, his son, his forgiveness, his mercy, all of those things are dished out on a regular basis. That's what Dr. Sherb was talking about and preaching about last week. This is a place where more and better things happen than we anticipate because of the work of Jesus Christ. This is a place where forgiveness isn't just talked about. Forgiveness is done, and God is present here. And sinners go to this hospital of God to get healing. It's a place where we go to have God do something to us. But unfortunately, again, because of the way that we think in our culture, we too often have a tendency to treat the church like it's an organization that is there as some kind of therapeutic spa. Or even worse, we treat it as if it's an organization where we are entitled to some kind of special treatment. And I hate to say this, I've spent most of my life not on this side of the pulpit, but on your side of the pulpit, okay? And in my life as a church member, this is one of the things that I have seen over and over and over again, and it is so damaging to the body of Christ, that entitled mentality. One congregation that I was a part of, not Trinity, had a member who a couple of times a year would get bent out of shape about something, and then in a public forum would get up and argue against whatever was being done at that time. And as this member talked, you could just about time your watch to the point in the discussion when they said this, "And my grandfather was one of the founding members of this church and helped pay for a big part of the land that this place is built on, and try and use that as leverage to get their way with whatever was going on." See, there was a sense of entitlement there about the church that actually blocked out this person's mentality and mindset to be the Christian that God is calling us to be and operate within the body like we are called to. Or think about it this way. You ever have a broken bone? Worse yet, have you ever had a part of your body paralyzed for a little while? What does that do to the whole body at that point? Just one part. How does it work? Not very well, right? There are significant challenges to overcome when even one part is down. And when that happens, that is a huge issue that we have to contend with. And so God says, I want the whole body working. And you know what that means? That means the individuals have to look to serve, not to be served. So next blank, one of the problems we have in our culture is an incorrect understanding of what it means to be a church member. Many people treat church membership like they would membership in a local country club. So unity, it's not going to happen when the parts of the body aren't looking out for the whole. And that's why Christ is the example that we are called to imitate. Because he is the one who got down here into the trenches with us and didn't play the I'm entitled card, did he? In fact, he played another card, that card that I am the humble servant of my heavenly Father, and I will do anything necessary to take care of what these guys need for their sins to be forgiven. And so that servant attitude is what he wants us to have at the forefront of our minds as we go about living as his people. That entitlement idea is nowhere to be found within the healthy Christian. I was reading an article about St. Paul and the concept that if he were writing 1 Corinthians in an email today, and how that would read, and it reads really interestingly. But I want to share a little bit about this when he gets to this part about that entitlement idea. And so the author of this article said this. This is how he would write it. To the church in Corinth, please think back to when God picked you. You weren't exactly the cream of the crop or the movers and shakers, hardly the aristocracy of Greece, but God chose you. So don't get cocky and think that you are connected to him because of your personal charm. Jesus bought you a clean slate so that whatever you do, do it because of him. And if you're going to brag, don't brag about yourself. Brag about him and what he's done for you. I love that. That's the approach that we are called to take as we interact with people, the people in our midst, the people outside of these walls, and even the people we don't get along with. We are called to, as that poem says, love them anyway. And so your next blanks, when you encounter the grace of Jesus, it will change how you interact with others. Even difficult people? The answer is yes. The gospel resets us to live with others. And so in light of the love that we have received from Jesus, difficult people get a new definition. And the way that we see them, that's totally different now. They are a person that needs to be loved. And I want you to hear these two words, by us. Too often we say, oh, somebody else will take care of that. Somebody else will do that. Somebody else will meet the needs of. And this is a call to each one of us, in an invitation personalized by God today in that text. That treatment of each other, in fact, is so important to God that God says it will be a witness to the world and an indicator to the world about what we're all about. God says, hey, the rest of the world can tear each other down, can rail at each other, can be angry at each other, but we are called to love. And love is an action that doesn't look to get something out of it. It just looks to take care of someone else for the betterment of their life, regardless of what they do for us. That's the concept Christ has called us to. And so your next blank, Christ calls this action a commandment, in fact. Love one another, he says. This will be your identity of alignment with me. The world is watching us. It's looking to us to see how we treat one another. What do they see? Paul says when they look at us, they ought to see Jesus. And so this is one of those texts. It's a call to action. It's a call to action out of the action that Christ has taken with us. And because of his work on the cross, where he let his body be maimed and torn up so that our eternal bill could be paid, we don't get what is coming to us. We're spared from what we deserve from God. But we have to understand that that forgiveness won for us on the cross by Christ, that's never allowed to be an excuse for apathy or laziness. Because of the cross of Christ, now we are called to what? Action in serving, action in loving, action in forgiving, action in interacting with others. I love what Oswald Chambers wrote about the importance of all of this and recognizing what the cross means for our lives. I included this quote in your bulletin. He said, "All heaven spends its time praising the cross of Christ. All of hell is terribly afraid of it. Humans are the only beings who more or less ignore its meaning." Believing in Christ means reflecting that faith in our lives in an active fashion. Why? Because like we heard last week, Christ gives us more and better and different things things we can't get anywhere else. And so that is freedom for us. It's liberating. It sets us free from our chains. We don't have to live like the rest of the world does. We don't have to be hateful and angry like they are and give in to temptation like they do. We don't have to be slaves to revenge anymore like they are. And at the end of the day, that's what this is all about. A God who loves us enough to send his son and who wants good things for his kids and instructs his kids like good dads do in the ways that are going to be best for their lives. And he's offering us that today. Follow me and follow my design. This works out really well for you as a person and you as a group when you do that. I was at my daughter's basketball game yesterday morning. One team of kindergartners against another team of kindergartners. It was maybe the cutest thing that I've ever seen in my life. And some of her teammates are here this morning, and it's so cool to see that. It was fun, so fun to watch. Not a whole lot of rules in these games, okay? Doesn't matter if you dribble. You can pick up that ball from one end of the court and run it down to the other. It's all good. What they're doing out there is what? They're just giving them a feel for the game and how this works. It was so cool to watch this. It was so interesting to me how all the parents and how all the relatives who were there, 95% of whom were taking videos of all of it, myself included, you know, but all of us there, we were so supportive of what was going on. So their team and their fans clapped when we made a basket. And our team and our fans clapped when they made a basket. And when something looked like, you know, some kid looked like he got hurt, we were all in this like, oh, is he okay? And when some other kid did something good, we were all in this like, all right, he did something good or she did something good. Why is that? Because we all understand that these are just little kids who are learning the game. And they're at a certain stage of development in life. And this isn't the NBA Finals. So why would we get super intense about all this? And as I was watching that and I was enjoying that, I haven't been in a situation like that in a long time where there's been that much kind of love in the room. And it struck me. You know, this is the attitude and the approach to each other that we ought to have in the church. We're all the children of God, aren't we? And just as we make mistakes and don't want people to rub our noses in them, but be patient with us and forgive us and love us, we're called to do the same for them. What if we all gave each other the benefit of the doubt and loved each other anyway? Acted like loving each other was going to be good for us and the whole body of Jesus Christ. What would that look like? Well, God is calling us today as a congregation to try his plan out and try it out in a new and deeper way. And we do that because Jesus Christ first loved us. So your next blanks. The love that Jesus gives to you shapes the way you treat and view others. And how does Jesus love us? Fully, patiently, unconditionally, mercifully. Who wouldn't want to be a part of a community that lives like that? So God bless us to be the body of Christ he wants us to be. And God give us the strength to work as individuals, working for the greater whole of the body of Christ. Amen. Would you please rise?